Good evening. I'm Karen Ashby, your moderator for tonight's telephone town hall. I welcome you to this live event and would like to thank everyone for taking time this evening to join us. Tonight, Senator Art Haywood of the 4th Senate District will take your calls as he discusses voter integrity and election security. The Senator will be joined by the CEO of the New Pennsylvania Project and the group leader of the Indivisible PA. As a reminder, if you have a question and would like to join in on the conversation, please press star 3 on your keypad to participate. Again, that's star 3 on your keypad. So without any further delay, let me welcome State Senator Art Haywood.
Thank you, Terry. Good evening, everyone. This is State Senator Art Haywood. Welcome to our telephone hall, town hall for all my friends and neighbors within the 4th Senate District. I'd like to thank everyone who is taking time out of their busy schedule to participate on this call. Whether you ask a question or just prefer to listen to the conversation, I appreciate your engagement. Now, if you would like to ask a question at any time during tonight's discussion, press star 3 on your phone. Star 3 on your phone. Now, as Karen said, this evening we will be discussing voter integrity and election security. I have two wonderful guests to join me in this conversation. However, before I introduce our first guest, who is the CEO of the New Pennsylvania Project, Kadita Kenna. Before I do so, I would like to give a little context for where we are with our elections. Our Secretary of State, who governs our state elections, has repeatedly said that our elections in Pennsylvania are safe and secure. At the same time, the President has begun to cast doubt on the integrity of elections, still denying that he lost the election in 2020. You should also know that the President in 2020 tried to cancel all of the 9 million Pennsylvania votes, all of them. He went to court to do so, and unfortunately, the courts did not agree. But it shows the great lengths that the President has gone to try to determine the outcome of an election. But our elections are the way we select leaders, not dictatorship. I'd like to bring on Kadita Kenna, and after that we will bring on Vicki Miller, one of the leaders of the Philadelphia Indivisible. But Kadita, please share with the callers what your organization does before we begin to bring them on.
Thank you, Senator Haywood, for this opportunity. Good evening, everybody. The New Pennsylvania Project is 5 years old. We're a statewide organization, and we focus on voting rights, and that means from voter registration to civic education and engagement and mobilization. And we've been doing this work, like I said, for 5 years statewide. I love working in Philadelphia and Montgomery County so that we can get as many Pennsylvanians registered to vote as possible and mobilize folks to the polls. And that has been our mission for the last 5 years.
Thank you. And now I'd like to bring on Vicki Miller from Indivisible Philadelphia. Please share with folks what your organization does, particularly with respect to voting.
Thank you, Senator Haywood, and thank you for inviting me tonight. Indivisible Philadelphia is in its 10th year, and we have always registered voters, of course, as well, but also gotten out to vote. We canvass, we make phone calls to voters, we educate voters, we write postcards to voters, we do all the things so that people can understand what's happening in the election, know who the candidates are, and know where they can vote, know where their polling place is, and of course, where all of the places are where they can drop their mail-in ballot. And so we do all of that. We also do other work like holding our elected officials accountable and, you know, calling them about legislation and things like that. But for purposes of voting, we do all the things to help people vote.
Thank you. I would like to start off with the first couple of questions before we bring on the callers I know of which there are very many. But first question for each of you is, we have heard repeatedly that our elections are full of fraud and that and they cannot be trusted. How do you respond to that concern?
I'll start there, Senator Haywood. Pennsylvania, we are having free and fair elections, and free and fair elections are happening across this entire country. Our elections are safe and secure. Pennsylvania is part of states that really make it more accessible for citizens that are registered to vote to get access to the ballot. And if that means that from having vote by mail to having drop box locations, satellite offices, and other ways online, opportunities to get registered to vote, to request a vote by mail ballot, to find a place to return a ballot, for in terms of instructions on to how to return your ballot and who needs to be able to do that. We are having free and fair elections here in the Commonwealth, and I'm very happy about the work that is being done by all 67 counties. It is the county's Board of Elections who are those that are actually registering folks to vote and administering what is happening in our elections in all 67 counties, and poll workers and those that are in charge of polling locations are doing such a great job to ensure that we are having free and fair elections here in the Commonwealth and that Pennsylvanians should trust the results in our elections.
What are you seeing, Vicki?
I echo everything that Kadita said, of course. I always agree with Kadita. But yes, Pennsylvania does a great job. It really, really does. There are many checks and balances along the way, or checks along the way, to make sure that the right votes, that number one, the right people are registering to vote. There are a lot of checks on that when someone goes to the polls to vote, and all the way through the process. And then, of course, the elections that have been counted at the polls, and also the mail-in ballots, so that everything is right, everything has been properly recorded, and that everybody's vote, if they follow the rules and if they're eligible to vote, that everybody's vote is absolutely counted.
All right. Well, Taryn, I think we're ready to go. Unless I want to give Kadita and Vicki a chance to say anything else, but otherwise we're going to go straight to the callers. Anything else you two might want to add before we bring the callers in?
Senator Haywood, I would just love to add that there's great information online. The Department of State has put together incredible resources for anyone who has more questions that maybe we can't even answer for you this evening. If there's anything you want to know, if you really want to get a deep dive into Pennsylvania elections, I encourage you to visit vote.pa.gov / and go to there to the Department of State, learn how to request a vote by mail ballot. Find out how you can get check the registration status of yourself or a loved one. Find out the status of your voter registration application. Find your polling location. Get registered to vote if you need that. Request a provisional ballot and search your provisional ballot if necessary, and find out where your ballot is in the process. So I encourage everyone, any questions that we can't answer for you tonight, please visit vote.pa.gov for great information. And Senator Haywood, the last thing I'll say, because I know there's great questions out here to be asked, is that we have some work to do in the Commonwealth as it relates to who needs to be registered to vote. It is a whopping total of 1.65 million Pennsylvanians who are eligible to vote but not registered. That's a huge number. And for Philadelphia and Montgomery County, that means 163,000 Philadelphians are eligible to vote but not registered. In Montgomery County, that number is 74,000 folks who live in Montgomery County who are citizens and eligible to vote but not registered. So let's turn out the vote for those who are already registered, and let's get those 200,000 plus that live in Philadelphia and Montgomery County registered to vote and voting.
All right.
Yes, and I would just add that for finding out what services are available and how to vote and all of the information in Philadelphia is vote.phila.gov. Vote, V-O-T-E, .phila.gov as well. And the information is really, really well laid out on that website also.
Okay. All right, Karen, well, we're ready to bring on the callers. And for the questions that are being asked, Candida and Ricky can each take a shot. Just don't be redundant. But let's see what the callers are looking are interested in.
All right. Quick reminder, if you would like to ask a question and join in on the conversation, please press *3 on your keypad to participate. Again, to ask a question and join in on the conversation, just press *3 on your keypad. There was an online question asked, how secure are our voting machines and are they connected to the internet?
Who wants to respond to that?
This is Vicki. I can answer. In Philadelphia, they are not connected to the internet, and they're very secure. They put out a paper at the very end of the night after the polls close. They put out a paper to give the results of the election, and they put out 4 copies of it, actually, and then that paper is handed over to the police, and then they make it secure. They take it to the election office. We also drop some of this part of the system from the machines directly at the election office, and they take possession of it. So it's all very, very securely handled.
And we have gone throughout the state for something called paper ballots, not connected to the internet, which is throughout the Commonwealth, which is very important. And the paper ballot allows also for a paper receipt for each vote so that the vote count can be audited, not just through the electronics of the machine, but also paper ballot. This is a significant step, very expensive change that the Commonwealth made. We spent millions of dollars to get these paper ballot machines throughout the Commonwealth, and the counties and the states chipped in to make that happen. But we have no dependence on the internet, even though you may hear that on social media or otherwise, and you may hear in another state, but it's not in Pennsylvania.
Senator Haywood, I would love to add just a little more information to that, if I can.
Please do.
To be very clear, right? Yes, as you represent both Philadelphia and some parts of Montgomery County, just to be very clear, both counties are never connected to the internet. Voting systems in Pennsylvania are never connected to the internet. And every vote cast on a voting machine is recorded on a user verifiable paper ballot. And there's multiple layers of defense to ensure we're preventing hackers from assessing our voting systems. For example, voting systems attempted to secure facilities that can be assessed only by authorized election personnel. And so there's testing that is done before every election as well, which is open to the public. So if you'd like to check that out, it is open to the public for you to trust and verify.
Thank you. I would like to add that the president has asked for all the voting records of those who are registered to vote in Pennsylvania. But Governor Shapiro has refused to share that personal information with the president, in furtherance to protecting privacy and protecting the election security. Governor Shapiro may end up in some litigation to protect that information, but he is taking a firm stance of not releasing voter registration information to the president. All right, who's next?
All right, quick reminder, if you would like to ask a question and join in on the conversation, please press *3 on your keypad at any point during this town hall. There's another online submitted question asking, what happens if there is a mistake on my ballot?
So this is a person who filled out a, I assume, we don't know if this is a mail ballot or an in-person ballot. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So let's, Kadena, if we may want to address first the mail ballot cure process if someone makes a mistake.
So if it's a mail-in ballot, there are certain things that have to be done. There are certain checks that that the election board in Philadelphia, I'm just more familiar with Philadelphia than Montgomery County, the election board in Philadelphia will put out a list of ballots that need to be, it's called curing the ballot, which is the correction process. But you could look out for that list, but also you could certainly call the office and give them your name and whatever other information they would like, and then ask them if your ballot has had a problem. However, also, you can go onto that website I named, and I think it's also on the PA website that Kadena listed, but votephyllis.gov or votepa.gov. They have a tracker that follows. It's super handy. This, you can look on this tracker, you enter a few pieces of information, your name and maybe address or something, and then you look and see how your ballot did once you mailed it in or dropped it in the drop box, and it will say whether or not the vote was recorded or whether or not there was a problem. And so you can certainly do that. Like I say, you can also call the office. So there are multiple ways, if you're worried that your mail-in ballot has a mistake, that you've put the wrong date or you've done something or other on it and you're worried about it, you can call and find out. Or you can go and go on the website and then go under mail-in ballots and you can see where the tracker is to follow your ballot. It's very handy.
And I would add into this information. Yeah. Oh.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd add to this that this is an opportunity for us in Pennsylvania to move some legislation that will allow for all 67 counties to ensure that they must notify voters if there is a mistake made on their ballot. Notice and cure is an election administration practice that's related to voting by mail. And so when a voter casts a mail-in ballot and they realize they made a mistake, such as they forgot to sign the outer envelope or they forgot to put their ballot in the secrecy envelope, then there's opportunities to cure or fix the mistakes that are made. But not all counties in Pennsylvania will notify voters of their mistakes, and not all counties will allow folks to cure those mistakes. So it's very important to reach out to your county's Board of Elections and ask for their policy and procedure as it relates to making corrections. And if by chance you are unsure if you did everything correctly, again, you can track your ballot to see if it's gone through the process and it's been collected and verified. And as a last resort on election day, if you need to show up to the polls and request a provisional ballot and vote that way, you can absolutely do that to ensure that your voice is heard and your vote is counted.
Thank you. And I can say in Montgomery County, they also post a list of the mail ballots that have had a problem, so you can see if you're on that list. I have been voting by mail since 2020, and I do get an email that says, yes, my vote has been received. And so that is a good tracking system that we do have in Pennsylvania. Now, if you make a mistake in person, so we've been talking about if you make a mistake by mail, there's a cure process. Now, if you complete a ballot and then made a mistake before you push the button that says you passed the ballot, right, then you can always go back. But if you push the button that says cast your ballot, and then like 2 seconds later, you think, oh, that was a mistake. I put something on there. I voted for someone that I didn't really want to vote for. There is Kadena called the provisional ballot. Now, Kadena, talk to folks about the provisional ballot and how that may work. But hopefully you won't change your mind or that. In person and just slow down when you're voting so you make sure that the votes you have wanted to make are on the machine. But you mentioned provisional ballot. What is that?
Sure. Provisional ballot is a great tool for any voter. And that's just not even in Pennsylvania. That's across the country that has provisional ballots for voters. Let's say that you've requested a vote-by-mail ballot, absentee ballot, and the ballot arrives late and too late for you to actually send it back in the mail. Or let's say that you never received your vote-by-mail ballot that you requested. It just never came to you in the mail. The alternative that you have in that time is to actually go to your polling location and ask the poll workers there, the Board of Elections poll workers there, for a provisional ballot. And we encourage anyone to never leave a polling location without requesting a provisional ballot. So for some reason they can't find you in the poll books, if there's some reason that you're just not showing up for any particular reason at all, the best thing to do is request a provisional ballot. And what happens at that point is that there's only going to be one ballot counted for you. So let's say you happen to mail it in, but it never got verified, so you're unsure if it was ever voted. And then you go and also cast a provisional ballot. Only one of those ballots are going to make it through because it's one person, one vote. And so provisional ballots are a great tool in case you believe any mistakes are made. And to Senator Haywood's point, if you have already voted in person and you have, in my county, Chester County, we run the ballot through the machine. Once it's gone through the machine, there's no curing, no correcting or fixing any errors made at that time. So take your time with your ballot. And this is a very important step. So take your time with the ballot. Make sure that your circles are filled in for what you want and that you're trusting and verifying how you are selecting on election day. And I encourage everyone to get a copy of your county's ballot so you can get a look at it before you go in to vote on election day so you know exactly what you want to do on election day.
All right.
That's very good advice. Yeah. And I will just say quickly, you can always vote no matter what happens. You can always vote on a provisional ballot. That's no guarantee that if the problem is severe enough, it still may not count, but you will always be able to vote on a provisional, and then the election board will take a look at it and then decide if it can be counted after all. But you can always vote on a provisional, no matter what happens.
Okay, that was a good clarification. Let's go with who's next on the line, Ken.
All righty. Quick reminder before we go live with our caller, it's *3 to ask a question and join in the conversation. Again, that's *3 on your keypad to participate. We're going to go live with Michael. Michael, you're live.
Hi, it's Michael from Philadelphia. I have a follow-up question. Senator Hayward, you made a comment about the governor not releasing our record private information, but it's the federal government. They already have our information, so what is the real reason that they don't want to confirm our voter rolls to make sure that only citizens vote? And the other question, a statement. I agree that the paper ballot is very secure, but how do we know that those that mail in ballots are the person that actually is on that ballot mailing it in?
Let's go to the mail-in ballot, and then I'll address the what the federal government does and doesn't have in terms of state voter registration records. Anyone have a response to his second question?
Sure. Just make sure I have that question correct. You are curious about how do we know that the person who actually wants to vote a certain mail-in ballot is the person that actually voted the ballot and signed their name and returned it in? Is that the question? Am I hearing that correctly?
Because we have people that can turn in ballots for people and say that they're that person and vote for them. Like you made a comment earlier about the number of people that are registered to vote. There are people that are registered to vote that don't actually vote, but yet votes get turned in for them. So how do we rectify that with the mail-in votes? You know, both my questions are voting integrity. You know, how do we know that?
Yeah, I'm not of that belief that there are folks that are requesting a vote-by-mail ballot for non-voters and signing their name to it and voting for them. That is not anything that we have seen any type of data on that happening. There have been, as the system works and people are prosecuted, for any voter fraud that seems to happen. I have not heard of a single case in which a vote-by-mail ballot was requested by someone other than the registrant and then turned in for that registrant. Now, to the point you made, Michael, when you say that someone can turn in a ballot for someone else, there are certain cases in which someone could be certified as someone that is allowed to turn in a vote-by-mail ballot for someone else. So let's say you have someone who is homebound, and therefore they give the wife permission to drop off the ballot for their husband. There's a process in place to make sure that that person is eligible to do that and only be able to do that for that one particular person. So I am not of the belief and understanding through data and any reporting that has happened in Pennsylvania, any persecutions or prosecutions that have happened in Pennsylvania in which someone is casting a ballot who did not request one. I don't know, Vicki, if you have any additional information, but I'm not aware of that at all.
I'm not aware of it at all either. And you do sign your mail-in ballot. And, I mean, when you go to vote in person, we compare your signature at the polls, right, because you have to sign in at the polls. And your signature is compared to when you registered to vote so that they know that you're you. And it's, you know, it's pretty well scrutinized. And you also sign your mail-in ballot. So I would imagine when they audit, I haven't asked this question. It's a good question, but I haven't asked it. When they audit that, because everything is audited at the end as well, just to do sort of a double check. And I would imagine that they look for things like inconsistencies like that also.
Thank you so much. As a consistent mail-in ballot user, first there's the mail-in ballot application. And that's an annual application. It has to be reviewed and approved so that the person requesting the mail-in ballot has the same name and address at a minimum of the person requesting. So that's the first level of test for getting a mail-in ballot in the first place. Second, when you get the mail-in ballot, it is sent to the name and address of the person who is registered to vote. All of my mail-in ballots have my name and address on it that's consistent with my voter registration. So both the application is consistent with my voter registration and the ballot that I received is consistent with my voter registration. And then finally, the signature that is submitted with the mail ballot has to be consistent with the application. And so it's the voter registration that is the core, that consistency between application for mail ballot, receipt of mail ballot, and return of mail-in ballot. So that's the check. With respect to the earlier statement, that the federal government already has the information, so why don't we give it to them? So that's as you can probably understand, there's a deep logical problem with that. If the federal government has this information, then there's no reason to request it from the state, because why request what you already have? That would be such a high level of duplication. So I don't know if I heard you correctly, but I think I heard you say that the federal government already has the information, which would make the request for it very hard to understand. Second, the states administer elections, not the federal government. And so the states are, that's how federalism works. And so each state is responsible for the election in each state. The federal government is not responsible for elections. It's the states. Every state has a voter registration system where the voters are determined for eligibility under state management. So here in Pennsylvania, it's the Department of State that manages voter registration, but as has already been shared, it's the 67 counties that administer the actual elections. So why the Pennsylvania and many other states are concerned about releasing information to the federal government is because the president went as far as inciting a riot on January 6th to try to stay in power. And so the confidence that individuals have that the president would not try to do something nefarious to try to stay in power, that's a real concern, given he was willing to participate and encourage violence to stay in power. So I'm not sharing the rationale of the governor, and I don't want to speak for the governor, but it's certainly a concern for me. Let me raise one other thing for the caller. Senate Republicans, after the 2020 election, asked for personal identifying information for voters in a so-called effort to deal with fraud, where no fraud was ever found. Senate Democrats filed a lawsuit to keep the personal identifying information from Senate Republicans. My wife and I filed a lawsuit to do the same. We won. We know that the voter information could be misused by individuals with nefarious purposes. So it is important for us to make sure that in order to have election integrity, that we work with people who have integrity and not who have been willing to try to subvert an election in order to stay in power. Okay, next question, please. Thank you.
All righty. Quick reminder, if you would like to ask a question, press *3 on your keypad to ask a question and join in on the conversation. We're going to go live with Karen. Karen, you're live.
Karen?
Hello?
Hello, go ahead, Karen, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say, first off, is thank you very much for your service. You are for the people and with the people. Thank you very much. Question is, why do I feel like my mail-in ballot will not be valid? I feel as though it might be something that, well, I'm going to say like this because I'm emotional right now because I know what's going on with this voting thing. I was one that always went to the polls, and now it's like I feel intimidated at some times when I go to the polls. But I also don't trust the mail-in ballots. So I want to know, how can you reassure people like myself that's nervous now? Because I feel as though the powers that be are bullying people that are trustworthy, working hard people, And I just want to know what's going on. I'm sorry. I'm a little emotional.
No, we got it. We understand.
I'm a little emotional.
We understand there's a lot of misinformation being spread and people are being affected by it. So, Khadija or Vicky, how do you respond to people like Karen who are hearing all this stuff and concerned?
I'm so grateful that this question was asked this evening because she is not alone. And as we are on the ground attempting to provide civic education to folks and overcome the misinformation, disinformation, and I would say lies that is being perpetrated by bad actors, not only within the Commonwealth but outside of the Commonwealth, to try to sow seeds of discontent in our election, their plan is working. Their plan is working as long as we are not feeling good about passing the ballot. Their plan is working as long as we are maybe not even going to the polls because we don't want to get there and be disrupted or not know what is actually happening in the process. And that's why I'll continue to repeat that Pennsylvania is having free and fair elections, that our system is working, that if you want to vote by mail, your vote will be counted. If you want to go to the polls, you are going to have a safe environment so that you can cast your ballot at the polls. And as we are celebrating 250 years of this nation, it's very important for us to believe in this democracy, to deepen this democracy. And there's nothing more democratic than for us to, as citizens, now that all of us have access to the ballot, who are citizens, for us to come out and vote in record numbers to make our voices heard. So it's very sad and disconcerting for us as an organization when we hear people who are all very passionate and very upset about what they're hearing and seeing, and overcome this misconception that we are not having free and fair elections. We cannot let the bad actors win when they're trying to sow those seeds of discontent. And so I just encourage you to come out and cast your ballot. And what we have in place in Pennsylvania to assure your vote counts is that we have a Pennsylvania state court system that is time over time ensured that our votes are counted. I think about a case led by a young woman in Delaware County whose vote was being contested after the 2020 election. And it was the Pennsylvania Supreme Court that said count her ballot. And so it is the state courts as well as the current administration here in Pennsylvania that is ensuring that your vote counts, your voice will be heard, and please come out on election day and cast your ballot and feel good about it.
I completely agree with Kadita, of course, and this is the play to make. Even if nothing happens at the polls, if everything goes smoothly, but they want people to stay home and not vote because they're worried about it. And unfortunately, it is working a bit, and that's our job to help people understand that everything is working fine. We have very, very good election officials, I know, in Philadelphia and in Montgomery County, and they are going to make sure that these elections are safe and secure. Mail-in ballots are counted. It's a very, very specific and secure process for them to be counted, and they take it very, very seriously because they want every single vote that should be counted. They want every vote to be counted. And they go out of their way to make sure that this happens, that people know if there's a mistake, and that people can, as I said before, can always vote on a provisional ballot, and then they will look at those and then count those at the end of the day. But from what I can see, and I'm watching all of this, there is no difference now than there was in the last election, and the primary election, and then the elections last year. Everything is running smoothly, and the city commissioners also in Philadelphia are having a lot of public meetings now where they're having all kinds of events, inviting people to come in and ask their questions. You can look up where those meetings are being held. They're being held in each of the satellite offices. So if you want, you can call them or go and go to the website and find the phone numbers of the commissioners and call them, vote.philla.gov. And call them up and ask them where these meetings are and go and ask questions. Or call them and just ask questions, and they will be happy to assure you that it's safe and secure.
Let me also add, Karen, what you are talking about is an effort that's called voter suppression. Voter suppression is where some group of folks are trying to reduce the number of votes that are cast. And they try to do it so that they can win. We need your voice. We need everyone's voice, everyone's vote, especially this November, but in every election. We are on this call tonight as a response to the voter suppression, as a response to the myths, to the lies, to the intentional efforts to try to reduce the number of people who vote. And that's why we are on this call, so that we will use our power and not relinquish our power to select the leaders for our Commonwealth and our nation. Thank you so much. You've got to address this concern. Thank you so much. Tara, let's go to the next caller.
All right, quick reminder, if you'd like to ask a question and join in the conversation, press star 3 on your keypad to participate. Another online question was, how can voters track their mail-in ballot to ensure it was received and counted, as a reminder?
I think that has been addressed before, but, hey, should be addressed again. Tracking the mail-in ballot, I think he may have responded to that before. Go ahead.
So you can go on either the vote.pa.gov website or the vote.cilla.gov website. Go to voting by mail, and then when you scroll down, you will see a tab and click that, and you will find where you can track your ballot. And it's just a great page. You put in the small amount of information they ask for, and then it will show you what the status of your ballot is. It's terrific. And it's
thank you so much.
It'll show when you've mailed it. It'll show when they've received your ballot, and then after the election, it'll show when it's been counted. If there's a problem, it'll show there's a problem.
All right. Let's go to the next caller or online person.
All right. Our next caller is Pat. Pat, you're live.
Hi, Senator Hayward. My name is Pat. I'm calling from Philly. I just wanted to thank you for your service, first and foremost. And I just wanted to ask a question about whether or not you're going to be doing a phone bank, sponsoring a phone bank for this coming election. I know I did one of yours a while back, and it was really very helpful in talking to people who maybe were sitting on the fence about voting and just giving them my spiel on why I thought it was important and persuading them. So I just was wondering if you were going to be doing the phone bank this time around.
Yeah, thank you so much for that question. We're on a call where I really can't talk about campaign activities because this is my official lane, and the phone banking was in my campaign lane. So I can't mix the lanes. I can't go over into that lane. But I do encourage you to contact me, and we can have another conversation about how to reach voters to encourage them to vote. But the rules say I can't answer your question. But I think it's a great question and something that should be done. Okay,
right.
What's our next caller?
Our next caller is Patricia. Patricia, you're live.
Hello, hi, Mr. Hayward, how are you?
Good, thanks for calling.
Okay, my question is about access to getting to the polls if we are not able to get there. I'm used to going to the polls to vote. I'm nervous about a mail-in ballot. And are there any organizations that can assist us to get to the polls, give us a ride or something like that?
What do you think, Candida?
Thank you. Yes. That's another great question. You know, again, as we're celebrating 250 years of this nation and also coming up on the 53rd anniversary of the March on Washington, it used to be a really big part of our communities in which we had souls to the polls on Sundays for early voting and such things. And in Pennsylvania, you know, it's really important that we probably bring these things back to ensure that people are feeling safe at the ballot box. I know that there's times that we're living in where there's fears about will there be violence at polling locations. Will a department of the federal government come and take me away if I come in and cast a ballot, or I'm going to feel unsafe? And so I really encourage folks to reach out to nonpartisan grassroots organizations. I think about the League of Women Voters. I think about Common Cause of Pennsylvania. I think about even indivisible groups that do this work, and Vicki can, I'm sure, speak to that, that will assist in providing a ride to the polls. There are frequently opportunities in which Lyft provides free rides to the polls. There's always opportunities in grassroots organizations, right? Everything is local. Local really matters. And to reach out to your local communities and organizations that are doing good work, civil society organizations who are doing good work to encourage people to come out and vote. And we want to make sure you feel really good and secure and safe about casting that ballot. So I would absolutely recommend reaching out to organizations such as that. And also the 877 Votes PA hotline. It's our voting election information in Pennsylvania hotline. There's that opportunity to call them and you know, voice any questions or concerns you may have about voting on election day or getting to a drop box to drop off your vote by mail ballot. Just use the resources that are being provided and look out for information, if that's social media, if that is the Department of State website, to find out who is providing free rides to the polls, who will attempt to escort you into the polls so that you feel safe about that to the best of their ability and what the law allows.
Yep, and there are some specific groups as well, but also Uber and Lyft have offered 50% discounts. When you go to the polls, you kind of need to sign up beforehand, but I think it's apparently as simple as when you have your vote button. They have a Go Vote button on their website, and then you can sign up there. The Philly Souls to the Polls also, in the past at least, have given free rides. So as Kadia said, there are various groups in Philadelphia that do this, and there, you know, the information is out there. I would say you could probably just Google, you know, organizations that give rise to the polls or something like that. But there are a variety of ways you can do it.
And there's one number that I forgot to add, which is 866-OUR-VOTE, O-U-R-V-O-T-E, 866-OUR-VOTE. And that's a security election line for elections, and it's manned by attorneys and others, volunteers in the state, to assist you on election day with any questions you have or before. I'll reach out and call that number for any assistance you may need.
Great. Thanks for that question, Patricia. And you can take a few more callers. Let's keep going. Or online questions.
All righty. Reminder, *3 to call in and ask a question and join the conversation. An online question was about how can community members get involved in supporting safe and secure elections?
What do you think?
That's a great question. You can sign up to be a poll watcher or a poll worker of some sort. Again, in Philadelphia, the city commissioners have many opportunities to sign up to work at the polls. They always need more people, and it's a huge, huge support for the election so everything goes smoothly and that there are enough workers there. It's a great way to get involved. And there are multiple different positions within that whole spectrum, depending on what you would like to do. So I would recommend that. You can certainly, the various parties also have poll workers outside to help people with, you know, lists of the candidates and things like that. That's with the Democratic or the Republican Party specifically. So that would be a partisan job. But then there are also all the nonpartisan jobs where people sign up through the commissioner's office, the Board of Elections.
Okay.
Is there anything I'd add? Oh, I was going to say, the only thing I'd add to that is, again, that phone number that I provided earlier, the 866-OUR-VOTE. If you are someone who is very familiar with election administration, perhaps you're a lawyer, et cetera, and you're interested in volunteering, to reach out to 866-OUR-VOTE. Also, when you go to the Department of State website, there's great opportunities there to become a poll worker. You can submit a poll worker interest form. Someone will reach back out to you. It's really beneficial for people to be poll workers, especially young people. If you have a 17, 18-year-old in your life and they want to learn more about these elections that we're holding in Pennsylvania, the best way to learn more is to actually become a poll worker on that day, even make a little bit of money for that day, for a long working day. But it's very important that we're all participating in this democracy if we're going to make it real for everybody.
That's right. Now, I do have an update on the person who asked the question if they made a mistake on their ballot, when they voted in person, what can they do? And the advice that we have received is tell the election judge at the polling location. There's some position called election judge at each polling location. Tell them that you made a mistake in your in-person ballot and see if they can then help you to cancel the first one, the mistaken one, and get another one. The election judge is who you should reach out to if you make a mistake on your in-person ballot. Okay. What's next? Who we got next, Karen?
Alrighty, there was a question asking about what should first-time voters know to make sure so that their voting day goes smoothly and that their vote gets counted.
Oh, I love this question because this is what we do a lot of at the New Pennsylvania Project. There is a reason why the most newly registered to vote are the least likely to actually show up to the polls. And it's because either they haven't seen mom or dad or grandmom actually cast the ballot to know what to do, or they just don't have the information for election day to do that. And so it's very important to reach out to organizations like ours that provide a voter information guide to give you all the information you need so you know what to bring to the polls your first time ever voting. And so if you're a first-time voter ever or first-time voter in a new polling precinct, you must bring an ID with you to vote in that first election. And that ID, and I want to make sure we're very clear about this, because there are so many people who right now believe they must have a passport or they must have a birth certificate when they do not. In this moment, a school ID is great information. It's great to bring to the polls the first time. The voter registration card you receive in the mail is a form of ID to bring your first time ever voting. Driver's license, state-issued ID, utility bill. These are all types of IDs that are acceptable to bring to the polls on election day for your first time voting. And we really suggest that you utilize the resources that are out there so that you feel really good about casting your ballot on election day. One of the primary reasons why young people don't vote for the first time is they don't want to make any mistakes. They don't want to seem or feel foolish at the polls if they don't know what to do or how to do it. And there's great resources, even the Philadelphia's commissioners in the office there. They will bring polling apparatus to your local community so that you can practice on how you vote for election day, so that on election day you know exactly what you're doing. But it is the number one reason why the most recently registered don't vote is because they don't know what to do on election day.
And I would say this is also something that regular people can, you know, not election workers, can also do, we can all do, and that is that we can help our neighbors and be a good messenger to explain if you have someone who's voting for the first time who you know, or a neighbor or a young person, you can say, I'll go with you if you want me to show you the ropes, or you can explain what it's like when you go into the polling place and let them know. I think helping people, especially in this time, you know, helping people be comfortable with voting, being a really, really active messenger in your community is an enormous help because they know you, they trust you, and they know that you will give them good information. So I would also recommend doing that.
Yes, at our Back to School Festival that we held this past Saturday at Mount Young Rec Center, the city commissioners brought a voting machine, and individuals lined up to practice voting, learn how to vote, and I think it was a good exercise, as what has been described, bring the voting machines to the neighborhood. Let me also say this. There is a 16-year-old who I was encouraging to use the voting machine for practice. And she said, oh, I can't do that. I'm 16. And I just said, well, this is just a practice. You know, this is not election day. But the fear of making a mistake at voting and seeing the voting activity as a high value is something that young people have, so much so they're even afraid to do a practice run, afraid to approach voting machine. And so the more exposure we can give to our young people about voting, seeing how the machines work is all positive and all part of getting people to participate. And we hit 56 after. Maybe we can get one more in.
All righty. So our last question will be, how or what tools can you use to better combat AI-generated election misinformation this time around?
What do you think?
Well, I'm not a technology expert on that, but I would say, again, the very best information is person-to-person, human contact. I think what the commissioners did with the event that Senator Haywood had this weekend is so perfect because it's people there trying it out in person, but also neighbors helping neighbors understand that elections are safe and secure, and just telling people you know. And also, if you're online, if you're on social media, to correct it in your social media feeds as well, because there will be stuff like that happening. And so we can just try to counteract it and lead people to the correct information.
I would just add to this that, you know, it's not even just AI. It's just the bad actors that exist that are paid to disrupt and try to suppress votes. You know, these can be AI generated, or they could be bots. They could also just be your next door neighbor who is on the internet and in social media timelines trying to disrupt our free and fair elections. And so whenever you see something, you have to say something. And I'm someone that people may say, oh, well, you know, why are you jumping in the comments section? Why are you going against these folks? These are just robots, or these are people. These are not real people who are espousing this false information. And my response to that is, I'm not really responding to the bot. I'm responding to the people who are in the comment section, looking at what their responses are to what the bot has to say. And so it's up to all of us to provide the real factual information so that we can dispel all the myths that lead to voter suppression, and that we can overcome the misinformation, disinformation machine. And we cannot allow those bad actors to win in this election or any future election. So we must dispel the myth, and when they happen, we must call them out. We can't just let them ride without being addressed, because that is truly what's particularly happening to young people, especially if they're getting all their information from TikTok or Instagram. There's lots of bad actors paid to disrupt our free and fair elections. And so whenever you see something and it's wrong, say something.
Thank you so much. I think we hit 6:59. I do want to thank Michael, Karen, Pat, and Patricia who called in. Adita and Vicky, thank you so much. Now, this has been a great discussion. Thank you for our guests and all the callers who joined in. That's a thank you to those who joined and they had a question, but also to those who listened in as well. If for any reason you didn't have a chance to ask a question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. Again, thank you for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-242-8171 or visit my website at SenatorHaywood.com. Thank you all again, and have a good evening. Please vote.